Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. It's Hear You Leave Today and Enter a World of Yesterday, Tomorrow, and Fantasy. I believe that is Star Wars, Marvel, and Disney. And to bring you that news is myself, your host, Liam.
I don't know who you are.
I'm Brittany.
It's Brittany.
Oh my goodness, it has been a while.
It has. We had a little break. After the break.
And mostly it was because there wasn't a whole lot of news. So we were like, let's just give it 2 weeks and give them an action-packed episode. So what's all the hot gossip?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Disney's hot gossip. We have to bring up the fact that there was a video released for Disney Infinity 4.0. And if you don't know what Disney Infinity is, I feel so bad for you.
Shame on you.
Disney run marathons will feature banana recycle bins, as they did this past weekend. And Disneyland raised their AP and ticket prices, which everybody in the Disney community found out about. And if you were off social media, then that's the only way you didn't. But I'm pretty sure you did, because the news even had to talk about
Somebody was talking about it.
Yes. And of course, last bit of Disney news. Audi joins with Disney to feature backseat virtual reality experience.
Nice. And in the realm of Marvel, we had Black Widow, which may be the MCU's first R-rated film and may feature one or two villains we haven't seen yet.
Cool.
We also have Black Panther took home several awards from the 24th Annual Critics' Choice. Punisher Season 2 trailer recently dropped, and it gave us a good look at Marvel's last surviving Netflix series. And then finally, for Marvel, Disney Plus, Marvel shows are rumored to have around $100 million budget each.
That's nice. I mean, it must be nice.
I would hope so.
Not 100,000, 100 million. Goodness gracious. And of course, we got to talk about some Star Wars news, because Solo, A Star Wars Story, is now available on Netflix.
Jedi Fallen Order is coming this holiday season from Respawn Entertainment / Electronic Arts.
And to finish it off, Star Wars Resistance launched the back half of the season, and they pick up a second season in the process.
Perfect. So we'll have all this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But before we begin the news, we got to talk about our adventures. So C3T1, take it away.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
So we kind of got ahead of spring cleaning by doing like a New Year's cleaning. So it was like, oh, let's take down the tree and the Christmas decorations and completely tear apart our garage and all the closets in the house.
I think once we took down the Christmas stuff, we were like, let's just keep going. Why stop now? Every room in this house needs to be organized. And I feel like something about the first of the year, it's like a refresher. Yeah. Just like people put out resolutions and like, well, I'm actually going to start this year. I'm going to read more books. I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to, you know, get fit. Whatever your resolution may be.
Yeah.
I like cleanliness and I like being organized. And I feel like the last couple of months, we just kind of let all the closets fill up.
Yeah.
It was time.
I don't know where to put this. Throw it in the closet.
Just put it behind a door.
Well, there were things that we found. It was like we had a garage sale months ago. And we finally got rid of a set of computer speakers that I had since college.
Oh,
but
I
we
know.
Got rid of them because I couldn't find the power cable. And it was like a weird size. So it wasn't one that we could just go out and buy a replacement one. So we like got rid of them for like $1 in the garage sale. It was like it had a subwoofer and the two speakers. And I was like, dang, I really wanted to use these for like this, because all we have is the monitor onboard speaker, and it's not very good. You literally, if you're trying to watch, like we watched the Runaways in here, the first season, and we had it turned like all the way up. And we
still couldn't hear it.
Yeah. So it's not, and this room is not very big. So to sit in the couch and not really be able to hear that was kind of obnoxious. So, you know, we finally get rid of them. And then as we're unpacking things, I find my old Xbox. Like, not my Xbox 360.
Like the original Xbox.
Oh, yeah, original Xbox. And I was all excited. And then I find this random power cable. And I'm like, sonny of a bee. This is a power cable for that stupid thing.
So, just throw it away. Yeah, I think we kept it because we're like, we'll maybe we misplaced those speakers and we didn't sell them like I think we did. I think we just donated them afterwards.
Yeah, I think we did. I think we dropped anything we didn't sell.
Yeah, we just agreed it wasn't coming back in the house.
We dropped it off at the Salvation Army. So unless I want to go to the Salvation Army and buy Goodwill. It back. Yeah, the Goodwill, whatever you want to call it. Unless I want to go to Goodwill and try to buy them back unless somebody else has bought them. I don't know.
Yeah, we probably could go right up to that Goodwill and like, hey, look, that's the speakers. And they're like, take them. Nobody wants them.
Nobody wants them. There's no power cable. I'd be like, this power cable? Nice. Trying to think what else. We watched some movies. So we finally got to see Ready Player One, which was really cool. Surprisingly fun.
I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know what the reviews were for it, but I really enjoyed the movie.
Yeah.
All the nostalgia, the little hints of other movies and other games and so many things you knew that I didn't know. And I'm like, gosh, man, you're such a nerd.
And I'm so old.
And I'm sure our age gap helps too.
Oh, for sure.
And it's just really funny. But the things that I did know was really enjoyable. I think just the layout of the movie was very much a gameplay. Like you're going through it and you know, they have to... If you guys have seen it, I'm not going to spoil anything, but just they have to achieve their mission and, you know, I guess pass the level to keep getting the secrets. And I thought it was a really cool concept of a movie. And then to have things like the Iron Giant in there and play a pretty significant role. Yeah. I thought it was just going to be the scenes that we saw from the trailers. They use the Iron Giant in like a really epic scene. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Yeah. No, I definitely dug it. It's one that I would actually probably buy.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it that much. Not like Greatest Showman enjoyed it, but...
But still...
Yeah.
Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. One that, like, if they took it off of HBO Go, I'd be like, oh, well, I wish that we had it so we could just pop it on and watch it again.
See it again.
Try to see what other Easter eggs you can find.
Who was the guy you were telling me he's from something?
Oh, Ty Sheridan. So the guy that plays the main character, Percival. Because Percival, it's Perz. That's why they call Percival. Him Z, Percival. He plays Cyclops in
the new Apocalypse.
Yeah, because obviously X-Men. He wasn't in the first two of like the new series. But yeah, so he plays Apocalypse.
He's baby
Cyclops. Not Apocalypse. He plays Cyclops.
Baby Cyclops.
But it was weird too because I was like, I know he's familiar, but it wasn't until when I went on Wikipedia and saw his name and I was like, oh, it's Ty Sheridan. It's obviously it's Cyclops. Because I must have missed his name when the credits had started rolling, but. Yeah, I thought he did a fantastic job.
I think they all
did. Yeah.
All of the cast were phenomenal. The girl, I don't know any of their names because I don't think I've recognized them from anything other than this film.
Well, Ben Mendelsohn, obviously. And then the girl that played Ghost in Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, Ghost and what's his name? Hello, Simon.
Oh, Simon Pegg, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was great, too.
I don't think I knew he was in the movie.
No, I didn't at all, because I don't remember seeing him in any of the trailers.
I don't either.
The trailers really hinged on the virtual world as opposed to, like, the real world situation, so you wouldn't expect to see Simon Pegg.
I like when trailers do that, when you can go into the movie and be like, I had no idea. If you didn't look up any news like we do for all the Disney films, we didn't look up news for that. So.
No, is this a movie that you wish that you had seen in theaters?
Yes.
Same. Yeah, I really was like, oh, we kind of missed.
Greatest Showman.
Yeah, we have the sound bar so we can get the movie audio quality, but still there's something about sitting in the theater and really experiencing that on the big screen.
I think it's one of those you feel bad that you didn't give them
the money
to, you know, to watch. And but I don't know how it goes when you watch it on a service and you're like, what do they get? Do they see that they got a rate, like a viewing? Like what? I don't even know.
But it's so tough because with movies being so expensive and so many movies coming out, it's hard to piecemeal out what movies you feel comfortable enough spending that type of money. Because you got to figure now that we buy Remy his own ticket because he's old enough that we have to.
It's three tickets.
You know
now.
What I mean? Yeah, this is almost $30. For the three of us to go, you
and
know, like
we have to get popcorn, guys. It's you can't go to the movies
and
not get
popcorn.
Which is another
$30. I mean,
popcorn is more expensive than a movie ticket on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah,
you guys are making a killing. I don't know.
They kind of have to.
I don't run a movie theater, so I wouldn't know.
Think about like for them to have to pay the rights to show the movies, and then the movies have to make back their money. You know,
so they see a cut of that.
For these
and then what do they
movies.
Get from it? That's where they make their money is the concessions, obviously.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, you're paying $8 for a soda.
Yeah, and a dollar candy from dollar store you get for $12 in the movie theater.
It's
crazy.
You just got to smuggle it in your purse. You'll be fine.
Uh-huh.
Just make sure the wrapper doesn't make too much noise.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was glad we saw that. We watched Ideal Homes, which featured
Ideal Home.
Oh, okay, which featured Paul Rudd, the one and only Ant-Man. It was a super cute movie. One that I don't remember seeing anything on, but I think you remembered seeing some sort of trailer.
I think our friend Charlie told us about it. Okay, I think she had mentioned, because I had mentioned that I love Paul Rudd, and because of that, she's like, "Well, did you hear about this movie? He plays a gay guy, and he's the." I'm like, "What? How did that?" Past my radar.
Right.
And luckily we came across it on HBO. So I saw his face and I was like, I don't care what it's about. I'm just putting it on.
It
was really good. It was a sweet movie. It had a little bit of emotion to it. But and for
a
the
lot
most,
of Taco Bell.
A lot of Taco Bell, which we love Taco Bell. But for the most part, there is still a lot of funny aspects to it. So I think it's worth a watch if you enjoy Paul Rudd or you just want a little bit of comedy with some family and I guess emotional values to it. So I think you guys would enjoy it.
Then finally got through The Office.
Yes.
So this was something we attempted years ago, but only watched the first season. And I'll be honest, I think you liked it more than I did.
I really enjoyed
season,
it, yeah.
And I didn't like the first season at all. And I had no interest in watching any of the other seasons. And you
so
sat down.
I would just catch reruns on, I think, TBS or whoever has it on their channel right now, reruns. I would just catch an episode here and there. I'm like, these episodes are all funny. I really want to get to this. And everybody talks about it. They've been for years. It's been off the air since, what, 2013, 2012? Yeah, I don't know.
2012, 2013.
So since then, people still talk about it on the regular. Like, it's never left. So I'm like, we got to just watch it. So I just put it on. It was going to be my fall asleep show, one that you weren't going to be awake for. I'm just going to watch it every night. And then sure enough, I watched the first season. And you caught on to, like, the end, I think, of the first season or...
Second season.
Because you didn't watch the first season at all?
I didn't watch the first season again.
Okay, so I watched
it
all of the first season, and then you caught on to the second season, and I noticed you were enjoying it too. So we just, it took us like 2 months, I want to say, to finish it all, because we are not like most who get to just binge constantly. We have to share our TV with Remy and
a whole lot of PJ Masks
Muppet Babies over and over. It's just PJ Masks right now,
honestly,
guys.
Yeah, lately it's been like three times a day.
Yeah,
like on my days off, like he'll wake up to PJ Masks, and then he'll come downstairs, eat breakfast, and then want to watch PJ Masks. And then after we've done our errands and whatnot during the day, we get home and he wants to play Disney Infinity.
And watch
so
PJ
I'm
Masks.
So glad that we spent all that money on that PlayStation 4 that he literally never plays. Like, doesn't play that Spider-Man game. I mean, we have the Disney Infinity games for it, but doesn't need to play them there because he's unlocked everything on the Xbox.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to do the PlayStation 4. Obviously, he's not playing FIFA. Played that Avengers, Lego Avengers, maybe for like 2-3 days.
Those games are mostly for us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wake up on my days off and I'll play FIFA for like an hour and that's about it.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, that was...
PJ Masks is taking over our house, which is why his birthday party was that theme. Like, the multiple parties he's had, because we're weirdos and we do that. But, no, The Office, amazing. So, all of you guys who probably have been telling us to watch it forever, thank you. And we're sorry we took so long.
Yes, now we're ready to watch it again.
Yeah.
See what else we may have missed in the early episodes.
Just finished and ready to watch it again, because I don't even know. It's... one of my all-time favorite shows.
Yeah,
I can honestly
good.
Say it's up there in the tops.
Yeah, it's definitely I would buy a box set.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, you know, for all the bonus stuff.
Love it. Oh, and now I just... And you want to see John Krasinski in everything.
I do. I'm ready to see him as Mr. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing somebody else suggesting him and then Emily Blunt as... Mm-hmm. Sue Storm as, mm-hmm. as Invisible Woman, which I'm fine with. I mean, they obviously already acted together in... The Quiet Place, which was his. He directed that movie,
cool.
which is even cooler. But I would, I mean, obviously she has already the tie-in with Disney now that she's Mary Poppins. So I don't know if that would disqualify her if they would like not want to.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
you gotta see they
recycle
a lot of people.
But I mean,
and all within the same amount of like time too.
Yeah,
like you gotta figure. True. Think of Idris Elba and how he was in every movie back to back. Like
oh yeah,
he, you know,
voice acting and everything
and then in the Thor movies.
Films, yeah.
So yeah,
yeah. No, I guess that's true. Like they do recycle quite a bit of people. I mean, heck, Tom Holland's going to be a voice actor in that movie that's coming up. He's
Onward.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, for Onward, Pixar, him and Chris Pratt. They're going to be the brother, the elf brothers, which I don't think we had to talk about it because that was during one of the many breaks that we had in the holiday seasons. But if you guys haven't heard about that, it's a Pixar film called Onward. That's going to be their next original film. So we're not going to get, after Toy Story 4, we'll be getting an original film, not another sequel, which I know a ton of people are excited about because we enjoy a Pixar original because they always give us great films. And I think we're just kind of over the sequels.
Yeah. No, I like to see original content. So, yeah. I'm always good with that.
Seeing Tom Holland and Chris Pratt, man, Spider-Man and Peter Quill.
Yeah.
Star-Lord.
Parker and Quill.
Yeah.
At it again. No, good stuff on the horizon, good stuff that we've been able to have. So we started our new year off pretty well. So it's been, so far 2019 has been pretty fun.
Yeah, let's keep it up 2019.
And also our brother-in-law gave us a second monitor. So now I get to do everything with two monitors, which has been I can't say lifelong, but it's been a decade-long dream of mine ever since I saw Steve, our engineer, for some of the previous records that I had done, when he first had a dual monitor set up and I could just, and he was just moving stuff from one screen to the other one. I was like, this is insane. Goodness. This is so cool. So I've always wanted to have that. And now I do. So it's very cool.
Awesome.
Now you can read the notes off of your monitor.
I have my own monitor now.
You have to lean over onto mine.
I don't get
to
touch it because I don't have a curse of freaking mouse or anything.
You don't need to. I have all the stuff on my side. So.
But it is pretty cool. I know you're really excited and, you know, stoked for the cool two monitors you have coming up in the world, Liam.
I know. Moving on up. This is the come up right here. So perfect. Do we have anything else that we participated in?
Oh, we can blab forever. So let's just get into the news.
All right. Here we go.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
All right. It's time for some Disney news. And we got to talk about Disney Infinity 4.0. The game that should have been, but never was.
Yeah. And never so will be again.
Never will be. But there was recently a video released, I think, on, what is that?
Vimeo.
Yep. Yeah. I don't remember the name of who released it, but they're saying it's legit because this person has also released other things, like have working on other Infinity games in the past. So they're thinking this probably was really going to happen if, what was the company that went down that they're like, nah, we're just done. We're not making these games anymore. I don't remember. Something Horizon or something.
Oh, crap.
I won't remember. Anyway, so basically it's almost 3 years ago since Disney Infinity was kaput. They're just not going to make any more games. And it was kind of crazy because they were coming out with games, well, sets, one after another. There was three games, and each game had so many different like play sets that you could play, and then they would unlock other characters if you bought them, and then you could play those in other lands in the 3.0 one, right? Like, that one was like basically all-inclusive. You could play any character in this one.
Yeah, the Toy Box Takeover. So it basically was like a play set that allowed you to utilize any of the characters, and then it was, you would branch off into different worlds.
But even in just their toy box, you could play any characters from prior, you know, games.
Yeah,
but you couldn't go back to the first game and play any new characters.
Exactly.
Like, you couldn't play a 3.0 character in a 1.0 game.
In a 1.0 toy box. So you'd have to have the 3.0 disc in, right. But you could, it was backwards compatible. So you could utilize, but if you wanted to do the play sets, you had to go specifically to that disc to be able to use. So if you were going to do the Toy Story play set, you'd have to go back to 1.0.
Right.
Oh, and it was United Front and Avalanche Software.
Okay.
The companies
and it might have been
were
Avalanche
in development.
That was the one who
decided
that they were not going to make any more. But we were bummed because this was one of the games we just decided we're buying all of these figures eventually.
They're collectibles.
They were awesome little figures.
Well detailed.
Yeah. They've even continued to make these toys today. Like, they have aren't they called the Toy Box toys that they sell in the Disney store?
Yeah.
They're modeled off of this style.
Development style. Yeah.
Which is so nuts that they were... It could have been so much bigger than it was, I guess. It was big at the time, but I think it could have went so much further if they would have got to what they released for 4.0 earlier on in the game.
Well, and I think that that was the limitation, right? Like, you had something like Skylanders where you could, I mean, it was one game that you could utilize any character, like any character that you put in there, and you could play the game. And I think that's what that, and we have talked about this before, that was the shortcoming for Disney Infinity is that you had the play sets where you, yeah, there was a mission, but it was only for specific characters that
were allied example, to that. If you wanted to play the Toy Story game, you had to be a Toy Story character.
Right.
You couldn't be Stitch and go do the missions in the Toy Story land. You couldn't be Mickey and go in there and beat the level as Mickey. You couldn't do it. You had to be only the specific figures. What we thought would have been great is if from the beginning, or even by 2.0 at least, if they figured out that no, any set that they were going to put out, still make a Toy Story land, make a Monsters, Inc. land, but have anybody be able to beat that land, you know?
And it, and they kind of showed their hand early, too, because by the time you got to 2.0 and you did the Avengers land and you did Spider-Man, right? So you had, that was like the Marvel invasion.
Right.
So you had these play sets where, when you had Guardians of the Galaxy as well. So you had three different play sets that were released, and you had some characters that could cross over. You know what I mean? Like, you could play the Avengers playset, and if you collected enough tokens, you could unlock playing Rocket. So then you could start using
which
your Rocket Infinity.
Which was a good idea.
Which was really cool. But my thought, even at that point, was like, well, if you can do one or two characters in that set, like, why can't you just do all of them? Like, even if you don't want to cross functional and put Disney characters into a Marvel setting, why can't I use any of the Marvel characters?
Agreed.
Like, I can, why am I doing a mission against Loki, but yet I can be Loki, but I can't, be Star-Lord in this set, or I can't use Spider-Man in this set.
Right.
It, to me, it just, I don't know if it was the limitations of the game or limitations of time.
And I think the software that they created at that point, they didn't know how to do that, or maybe it was too much or something at that point. And I think with this was going to be called Disney Infinity 4.0 Kingdoms.
Right.
It's kind of what we wanted all along. So if they would have just got to 4.0, what it looks like they started with, they the trailer was going to be Agrabah.
Yes.
And which makes sense. You had brought up a good point that, well, that's why they released
Aladdin and
Jasmine.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to be able to showcase them in this next set. But it's showing that you could be Yoda. You could be Sully. You could be the Hulk. And you're going on this mission and you're playing the Agrabah land and you're trying to beat Jafar. But as anybody that you want. And then eventually what it seemed like to us, at least, I don't think we're like misreading this, but that they were going to do other kingdoms. Like, this was just the first kingdom that they released for 4.0. And maybe down the road they were going to do another kingdom, which maybe they would have done, who, like a Peter Pan experience, you know, or who knows.
And what was cool about this, what was cool about this too, is that they actually has like Aladdin and Yoda kind of lead you along the story. Mm-hmm. And they also, the AI uses those characters. So you actually have people that fight alongside you, similar to like when you are running through some of the levels and like Nick Fury would come with you and like fight along. Like, I really liked that stuff. I really thought that that to me was the logical direction. Mm-hmm. Like, it was cool to do the speedway, so you could do like the Mario Kart, you know, type racing. I thought that was really fun. Battlegrounds, of course, was really awesome. You know, they really broadened the Marvel set at that point, which we forgot to mention. We finally got Remy Ultron for his birthday party.
The Marvel, all of the Marvel, I guess,
Infinity
figures.
Characters, yep. All
we
of
had
them
all.
Yeah,
and I, if you guys remember, months ago, probably last year, because I think it was about last Christmas that we were really trying to buckle down and get all of them. So it took us a year, but we picked up every single one, and most of them were gifts. So thank you to all the family members that
That hooked us up.
Yeah, definitely contributed to that, because some of those were a little bit priced up.
Yeah, my goodness,
Hulkbuster, man, that one was never coming down.
No, but my ma hooked it up.
Yeah,
so.
But then you see it, and you're like, holy moly, this thing is massive.
Yeah,
like double the size, triple the size of the regular figures.
Right. Which was really cool, though, because now we're down to like the last 27. And I think the only playset we don't have is Inside Out. We have all the other playsets at this point, because we just picked up Lone Ranger for Remy as well. So,
So Inside Out is the last playset we need to get. And then just the few of the standalone figures that don't have any worlds, but it's just exciting to have them.
But wait, okay, so my thought, though, is I wonder if this has a positive enough response, if they will try to, you know, put a shot of adrenaline back in its arm and try to continue on with that development. Because I do think that with there continuously being more Disney properties that are constantly coming out and sequels and, you know, reimaginings and whatnot, like, why would you not want to make, like, kingdoms, right? Because when you really think about it, you could really own the entirety of the Renaissance, and that's really what's going to get people invested. Like, you start out with Agrabah, you do Atlantis from obviously from Little Mermaid. You can do the Beast Castle.
Yeah,
you can do Lion King. You could do the Pride, which would be pretty dope as well. I mean, you could do, I know it's not technically a kingdom, but you could do Zootopia because you did Judy Hopps and Nick Wilde.
Right. That's where I thought they were going with it.
You could do King Louis' kingdom in Jungle Book because you released Baloo. So it's only a matter of time. You could do Bagheera. You could do Mowgli. You could do Shere Khan. Like, you could do other characters to release in that set. Obviously, that's not Renaissance, but that would still be an iconic series. You could think, if you wanted to do Sleeping Beauty, because you already have Maleficent.
Yeah.
You could do Snow White. I mean, not really a kingdom, but
like,
but
big kingdoms,
potential.
I feel like they would have touched on probably Renaissance films. I think they would have went Aladdin, then they probably... Actually, they would have just went iconic films. So yeah. I'm surprised they never came out with, like, a Peter Pan land, because they did so many little games for it. They're like, you can do this game, and now Tinkerbell's released, and you can do this game. So they did little things for Peter Pan throughout the game, but I'm like, that would be amazing if you go to Neverland.
Yeah,
that would be so cool.
Or, I mean, I'm a huge Tron fan. They released Sam, Flynn, and Korra. Like, why not?
And they have a lot of, like, game discs that you can put on your game.
The overlays.
And have a lot of overlays. You can have their vehicles, weapons. It's really neat. So
I mean, going into Sugar Rush, like, legit Sugar Rush, not just the overlay, but, like, actual...
I think missed opportunities would have been Wreck-It Ralph and Big Hero 6. I feel like those lands or worlds...
San Francisco would have been mind-blowing.
Would have been amazing. So
and honestly, just the figures, because like Baymax and Hero look fantastic, but if you had Wasabi, Honey Lemon, Go-Go, and Fred, I think that would be so cool.
And then the guy in mask.
Yeah, guy in mask. Kabuki mask. I think, I don't know, I still think that this is an untapped potential that I think they gave. I think what happened, it's kind of what the problem with that was, the same problem that they're saying they have with Star Wars. I think they released things too quickly, and just consumers weren't able to catch up. We weren't able to buy things.
Well, look, we're 3 years out, and we're still 27 figures away from finishing everything. Yeah. Like, not everybody can keep up like that. It's kind of the same with Funko Pops. You know, you have to really want the figures you want to keep up, because they release them like every week. There's something new coming out from different franchises, and you know, people love more than just Disney, you know, like people love so many other like pop culture things out there. So it's hard to keep up on things like that. For us, we just get, like with Funko Pop, I think we kind of just lost it, you know. We're just like, eh, we'll get the ones that we really want, and now we just don't even try anymore. It's just, unless there's something super awesome, we'll get it, but it's just not a necessity.
Yeah.
But that, I think that's what like overkill does. It's like, well, my pocketbook isn't big enough for that, so I'm not even going to try. I'd rather just get really behind than try to like still wade those waters. It's like not possible.
Yeah. And I think like younger kids, like Remy, obviously he prefers the toy box, whereas adults like ourselves, we prefer the mission. So it's, you had two aspects that could appeal to two different groups, but 4-year-olds aren't buying your figures. The adults are. So you need to make it so it's interesting enough for the adults to want to purchase it for the younger kids. So.
And look at us. We will. We'll get them all one day.
So here's hoping. I'm eventually, when I win the lottery or when we get super famous from this podcast, I'm going to reinvest that money, and I will purchase the rights to 4.0, and I will make sure that it gets released.
Yeah. We'll go 4.0 and beyond.
Nice.
All right. So let's talk about the Disney Run Marathons, which one of them just passed this weekend, which I found an article that was really neat by Chiquita Banana. They are a sponsor of the Disney races, and obviously they give out bananas to all the runners. And so if you could think about how many bananas they give out for every race, not just this one, but other races that they, you know, help sponsor. But just this Disney race alone, what they're saying is something 28,000 pounds of discarded banana peels.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And not everybody is environmentally conscious and they don't, I don't know, what do you say? Just throw something in the trash like you're supposed to. They throw it on the floor. You have a real life Mario Kart situation going on with runners that could easily just slip and fall.
Right.
But just throw it in the trash, guys. Well, now what they're doing is what they made, or they didn't give like too many details on how the science works, but they made a bin that is specifically for the banana peels, and it's what it will do is eventually they'll turn all those banana peels into electricity, crazy, I don't know how, but amazing, and different types of energy. What the heck? This is so cool. So what they're doing is they started at the Disney race that just passed, and they're going to continue for the next upcoming marathons that are happening in Disney World, because, you know, they're not happening in Disneyland anymore right now, all right. The construction and everything that's changing. Hopefully one day they'll come back. Who knows? But for now, you can only do them in Disney World. I think there's like a princess one coming up in a couple weeks, and there's a Star Wars one in a couple months. So you can find the little Disneyland or the little Chiquita bins. Be sure to throw your peel in the bin, because that, I think, if I had a resolution for this year, I want to be more environmentally conscious this year. Nice. That's, I think I did a pretty decent job at the latter half of last year with trying to change over house things and trying to just be more natural and not be so wasteful with things and use less water. I love that Disney just kind of stays on the board, like the ball with all that stuff, with the straws, with less, you know, single use plastic things. I forgot what race. It wasn't in Disney, but somewhere overseas, a couple of marathons have started implementing no single use cups at all.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, nice. They will give you water, but they're not going to use single use things anymore or plastic cups. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's where it has to start, at huge things like this that bring in thousands of people for one race, you know, that you're, gosh, like that piles up so quickly, the in the landfill or whatever. If you guys don't know, plastic takes like 1,000 years to
decompose.
Yeah, decompose. Yeah. So recycle it. At the least, if you're going to use it, recycle it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't. I love that Disney is on the ball with this. Good job, Chiquita, on doing this. And I'm glad that for the races to come, that you will have a banana recycling bin. Do it so we can have banana energy. Whatever that is.
Banana electricity. Yeah, I eat like a banana a day. I'd be fine with using that to recycle.
Well, we just need our own compost bin.
Do they have like a Mr. Coffee, like in or Mr. Disposal in like Back to the Future?
Oh, my goodness.
He uses the like soda can and the...
Right.
Banana peel.
Well, that's what we have to do. We have to make our own versions of those things, guys, in our day-to-day lives.
I love it. Let's make it happen.
Let's save this planet. All right. Let's talk about some more Disney news, which everybody has already talked about this, but we wanted to just give our little input really quick on the Disneyland prices for their tickets and their annual passes.
I mean, we're not surprised. It's been going up annually, like every year.
Around the same time.
Like with all things, gas, food prices, minimum wage, like everything goes up, every single year. With this one, I think I kind of called it, right? Where I said it was going to be about $150 price increase.
I remember you said
and
that.
I think you told me I was crazy that it wouldn't be that high. And mm-hmm. then here we are. It was $150 a ticket.
Yeah. I didn't think you were right.
So the pass that we had was $9.99.
Yep.
And now it is $11.49.
Yep. So, I think it's 11, might just be 11.50, but maybe it is 11.49. Yeah. I don't know. Either way, it's $150 more
than what we had paid previously. The pass above us, which is the one that has no blackouts, ours has a 2-week blackout period right around Christmas and New Year's, which is fine because it's usually too busy down there at that time anyways for us to go. So we usually stay home. I mean, one, to prep up for Christmas and for Remy's birthday, and then you know, two, to get ready for our January 1st cleaning, which you know, I'm sure that'll be an annual thing now.
Yeah,
but yeah, I you know,
the one above us went up. It's $13.99 now.
Okay, so it went from $10.50. Wasn't it $10.50 or was it? No, it was $11.50. Yeah, theirs was $11.49.
Yeah, so theirs went up like $200 and something bucks, I think.
What is it now?
It's $13.99.
Yeah, so it went up $250.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the full no blackouts. And then as we've seen on when you looked through the calendar, you could see that there were particular blackout dates for some of the passes. So there was going to be like a good chunk of the summer where the Disneyland would not be accessible to a certain tier.
Well, we knew this months ago that they were doing park-specific blackouts.
But now we could see it. We could see the actual dates that they were going to be blacked out. And that also gave us a good indication of when Star Wars Land was going to open, because you could kind of see when their weekend was going to start towards like the end of June.
Yeah, it was like the 21st or something.
Yeah, and that'll lead into, obviously,
Star Wars, Galaxy's Edge,
and then depending on your pass level, being shunted over to California Adventure.
Yeah, so all of the passes went up. Even the deluxe one went up. So deluxe is $7.99. Ours, which is the signature, went $11.49. And then the signature plus $13.99. Even the premier pass went up. And that one went up basically $2,000. Not up $2,000. It is $2,000 now. Yeah. So if you want to go to both parks, it's $2,000. But when you break that down, like I broke down our pass and... let's see. How many days are we out? We're only out less than 2 weeks, or is it 2 weeks that we can't go?
Yeah, 2 weeks that we can't go.
So what? So you say 365 minus the 14 days like that we're not allowed.
You basically call it 350.
Okay, so we can go 350 days. So if you do 1150 divided by 350 days, you're only paying if you went every single day, because some people can go almost that many times because they live so close. $3.28 a day to get in. So when you really break that down, you're not paying anything at all. I went at so far as to break down how many days we have gone so far with our pass.
Yeah.
And so far we've only gone I think we've gone like 15 days or something.
Okay.
And we still have a couple months left on it.
Right. Because our pass is April.
Yeah. So it was what? $9.99 divided by the 15 days. And I feel like that's around like $70-ish a day or something. I don't know.
It's 66.6. How
66. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So that's how much we have paid a day to get into Disneyland for the days we've gone. And we haven't even finished going for, you know, the remainder of the next couple months. So we can bring that down even more. So we'll ballpark around $50 a day to get into Disney on our pass. It's not really bad. And there's people who go way more than us. So they are saving even more money.
Yeah.
Well, and we're getting free parking because parking went up, guys. If you didn't know, it is now $25.
Right. Well, because you got to figure, and that was kind of the way we always justified it, was one, we were going to get free parking, which obviously was going to make it so you didn't have to pay for the shuttles. You didn't have to, you know, try to walk a grand distance to try to get there. Two, we were going to be getting discounts on food, on merchandise, and on media. And then three, I mean, it's kind of that permanent vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Where whether it's... we're, you know, in the area visiting friends, or if I have to go close by for work, like we're able to go
and pop in.
Yeah. And just pop in, whether it was for the day, for the weekend, you know, if it was for several days, like, you know, we always had that as an opportunity, which was, you know, really enjoyable for us. It makes it that much easier. So here's hoping. I imagine before our passes are up, which we'll probably renew again because that's how we roll.
We say we're not going to when it goes up, and then we do anyway.
Yeah. I think we'll probably go at least two more times in that point. I mean, and here's even hoping. If you go, say we only went for two more weekends, that's like another 4 days, right? Like potentially 5 days. Like, I mean, that's so 99. I should be able to
He's
do
using
my
his
head.
Handy dandy calculator.
I mean, that's $49.95.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So ballpark around $50 a day to get into the park.
So for the both of us, it's $100, whereas now you can't even get a one person, one day, one park
pass.
Yeah,
so if you guys aren't into the annual passes and maybe you just want to take a trip with the family, or, you know, a weekend trip with you and your significant other, you cannot get into the parks anymore for under $100 unless you do the bundles. You got to remember that those 3 day passes, anything more than a 1 day ticket, you're always going to spend less if you do a 2 day, 3 day. The more days you're going, the more you're saving. So yes, you are spending more in the long run because you're there and you're spending money in the parks. But on your tickets, if you can go 3 days, I would say make your trip at least 3 days to save as much money as you possibly can. 4 days, then it's kind of like, do I really want to spend all that money and spend all that money on food while I'm there? But I saw something like at a 3 day pass, even into the busier summer months, you can get it for somewhat $70 a day if you're doing that 3 day pass for both parks. So it's worth it. But on a regular day, if you just want to go in, not a busy day, $104 is the cheapest you can get into Disneyland now. And I think that's a one park, obviously. Yeah. It's not a park hopper pass. That's going to bump up. On a peak day, you can pay as much as $149.
Dang.
So you got to you better believe in the summer you're spending $150 to get in to see Galaxy's Edge.
Right. Ooh. Well, and I calculated it out too. When you think about it, based on what we said, it was 66.6, right? Mm-hmm. So you increase that to that 1150. So say we already had paid 1149 or whatever, it only would have cost us 10 more bucks.
Yeah. It's not, it's a really big number to see. And if you are lucky enough to just pay it outright, awesome for you. But we do the monthly payment. So that makes it a little bit easier on us.
Yeah. Until they kill that off and
we which is probably down the road.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll come. So, but yeah, no, it'll be an interesting year. So we'll see if we'll end up renewing, because this would make it 7 years pass holders. So.
It's hard to let go of that.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to go away to Disney when you love it as much as we do. So here's hoping we can continue to do this and the Disney doesn't keep raising us out.
I guess we'll see.
that's what they're trying to do in the long run. But let's talk about this quick little news on what Holoride is what it's called. So Audi, the car company, Audi. I don't know how you guys pronounce it. Yeah. I pronounce it Audi, like an Indian and Audi.
I think Audi, like Audi-O, but you say Audi. Which I feel like yours is right.
I feel like I've always said Audi.
Audi.
No, usually what I say is always wrong. I always pronounce something wrong. You know this.
I don't know. I'm the one that says adult and advertisement. So go ahead.
And he laughs at me for saying them the other way.
You say process. I usually say process.
Because you process something. Yeah. Processing. I don't say processing. You turd. See, this is what we do. Anywho, so Audi joins with Disney to have, I guess, a backseat virtual reality experience. And I don't know if you guys have come across this before, but I just recently come across it like last week. If you want to look it up, Holoride, the reason why it popped up in my feed was the first ride that they released with Disney's name behind it was a Marvel experience, and it's a Rocket Raccoon adventure. So it's basically what this is, it's not for the driver. You have to be in the back seat, obviously, and you have a little VR system that you put on, and what it's doing is you put in your location of your destination. So the maps knows the streets and where it's taking you. So it knows the layout of the game. I'm air quoting the game. And you're going, driving through the game and maybe you're in a spaceship. So you're going through a spaceship, and if your car is making a right turn, your spaceship is making a right turn.
Oh, wow.
And they will make it, if you suddenly stop because somebody, stops in front of you, surprisingly, you will stop in your game. Seems so epic to me. At first when I read it, I was kind of like skeptical, because anytime there's something that is tech based in a car,
yeah,
I think it's dumb, because I hate the idea of people
trying
texting
to do that while driving
and you still using social media while you're driving. It's like, just drive your damn car. Leave it to the people who are in the seats next to you. But this is only available in the back seat, and I don't know. It looks pretty awesome. There's some video footage too. So if you guys want to go Google Holoride, they show like a little animated version of, it's not a Disney thing, but their animated game. And it looks really fun. Like, I want to do this. But so far, it's only available overseas. I think it's like in the UK right now. Yeah. Their goals are to make it everywhere, though. They want it to be in every car, not just an Audi car. Like, they want to make this system to be able to be compatible for anybody's car.
It should be fun for Remy for those long drives. So.
That's what it is. Yeah. Essentially, it's for the people that are just passengers, on a 3 or 4 hour drive, or who knows where you're going.
That's
but
crazy.
It looks really cool. I would like to try the Rocket Raccoon game, too, because that sounds pretty amazing. Awesome. So let's move it into some Marvel news.
Perfect. So we'll kick it off, of course, with Black Widow. I shouldn't say of course, because only those that remembered me talking in the intro would know. So
truth.
And apparently Liam Neeson doesn't even know who I am.
Would he?
Right. But Black Widow actually is rumored to be the MCU's first R-rated film. So this is going to be directed by Kate Shortland. And the possible villains that have been rumored so far are Taskmaster, which had his first appearance in Avengers 195 back in May of 1980. And then the other possible villain or tag team villain would be potentially Red Guardian, which I'm guessing it'd probably be Red Guardian 2, which was Alexei Shostakov, which was Black Widow's, or I should say Natasha Romanoff's husband, who basically he underwent the Russian version of this of the super soldier serum, because he was supposed to be the answer to Captain America, was, and it obviously made him go crazy because that's as it one does. This movie slated right now for May 1st, 2020, so this would be potentially either the first or second film, depending on if they decide to do an early, like February or March release again, and then they do a May release and then a July release, or if they decide to go with a May release, a July release, and then a November release, or an early August, if not late July, and then November. So it depends on what the lineup is. But this may be one of the first movies that we get after Far From Home, which will be obviously the last one we're getting this year. But I'm excited because this one will be a prequel. I like the idea of them doing Taskmaster and setting him up to be maybe somebody that trains Natasha. Mm-hmm. And then she has to battle him as kind of like a secondary villain before getting to Red Guardian. I think that would be kind of cool. But I really liked the idea of having her being trained by Winter Soldier. You know, like,
yeah,
kind of have
that
tie
in
from the comics. Mm-hmm. And one, we get more Sebastian Stan. And let's be honest, like, who?
Because there was the rumors of him being in the films. Is it kind of like not a thing anymore? Or is it still possible?
No, I haven't seen anything like updated that says that that's still in the cards. Mm-hmm. I would really like to see them do maybe like just after she defects. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really need to see her like still as a KGB agent unless you want to do like some flashback stuff. But I would prefer to have her like she's just defected and like there's still a little bit. S.H.I.E.L.D. mm-hmm. kind of doesn't trust her. Mm-hmm. So they actually send like Clint Barton with her, or like he has to watch her or something. So,
or we just finally see all the nods to their past adventures together.
Yeah,
we remember Budapest. Like,
yeah, very differently.
Very differently, yeah.
Yeah, something like that would be really cool. I mean, ultimately, I do want this to be a Black Widow movie first before it's like, let's plug in all these other Avengers because we're worried she can't carry the movie on her own. Like, I'm fine with if they don't end up using Hawkeye and Winter Soldier and they do want to go with Taskmaster and Red Guardian and really have it be more developed, you know, like, here, let's introduce new characters instead of continuously recycling. You can have Fury, like a de-aged Fury, like we're going to get in Captain Marvel next month or in 2 months. So I'm fine with all of that. Mm-hmm. How about for you? Like, if this ends up being an R-rated film, is that going to make you feel one way or the other?
No, I mean, I can see why this character, you know, they would want to go R, but I don't think it's necessary.
Same.
I would be okay if it's not R. I mean, obviously, all the rest of the Marvel films in the MCU have done just fine without needing an R rating. And I'm trying to think, like, if there's, like, a darker character than her that has had a solo movie, but there really isn't. She would be the darkest, because, like, when you think Captain America, you think Iron Man, you think Spider-Man, all of these.
I think if you had gone a slightly different direction with Doctor Strange, you could have made that one R, because you could have made it more horror than what it, you know, wasn't
really
a horror
movie. I'm
glad
that they went the direction they went.
No, because this way it fit better with the MCU. But I think with this one having it be a prequel, it doesn't really have to have the same vibe. So
we know her backstory, you know, from most people should have got the gist of where she comes from from all of the Avengers films.
Well, Age of Ultron hit us pretty heavily over the head with it.
So, I mean, it's not a big deal if they do it. Cool. I don't think it needs to be rated R, but whatever you do in Marvel, you have not let me down yet. So
we'll hold you to the flame. But
I'm excited.
So I'm really looking forward to it, because if it is Taskmaster, he's a lot of fun. If you get the chance to read the Agent X series, that was actually written by Gail Simone. If you get a chance to read that one, he's fantastic in that, because he has to basically teach Agent X how to be Agent X, like how to fight. And because Taskmaster has the ability to mimic the movements of anybody.
Yeah, I've seen him in the all new Wolverine comics.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because Laura stabs him in the hand with her foot claw, which is very cool. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see what happens. So moving right along into Black Panther news. So they took home several awards. They took home Best Visual Effects, Best Production Design, and Best Costume Design at the 24th Annual Critics' Choice Awards, which I think is incredibly important because obviously we've talked numerous times about Black Panther having proper representation, proper role models, especially for young minority youth. And I think with having it win these awards, it kind of showcases that these Marvel movies are viewed as legitimate films. Like, these aren't just superhero escapism. Like, these are films that have a message, that have fantastic acting and beautiful sets and costumes and scores. And I mean, you figure nowadays it's you interview any celebrity and almost every news organization asks them, like, oh, what superhero would you be? You know, and everybody these days, like, they actually have a superhero. They're not just like, I mean, the John Cena thing kind of bugs me. He was like, I think I'd be a good Captain America. It's like, no, dude, we have a Captain America. Why don't you throw another name out there? Like, read a comic book and then find a character that hasn't been done yet that you think you would be a good portrayal. Mm-hmm. Because obviously they pay attention to those things. They obviously look at it. I want to say for Kurt Russell had said, like, oh, I'd love to do a Marvel film. I think same thing with Michael Douglas. It was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do a Marvel film. And Marvel immediately was like, oh, yeah, let's give him a call. So I think that's where these things become more important, is to have these actors speak out and then have them kind of stand by the message. I think Chadwick Boseman's done a fantastic job of doing that. The director Ryan Coogler has done a fantastic job of doing that. I'm glad that they're bringing them both back for Black Panther 2. You know, I don't know. I really think that this is the proper step forward for the MCU, and I'm excited to see where else they're able to go with it. How about for you?
For Black Panther?
Yeah, of course.
I'm just excited to see more Black Panther. I know nothing of the comics other than what you have told me. So I don't know story-wise where it's going to go. But I know I enjoyed the first one enough. And I know America and the world enjoyed Black Panther. I feel like that was a movie that just kind of surprised a lot. I don't know. It seemed like it was a surprise, but not so much. I think it was one of those where we were just in a time where we knew we needed this.
Yeah.
If not in the world, definitely America needed this. And we're still there. We were only a year away from that. And we're still nowhere, you know, where we need to be. I mean, heck, look where America sits right now for stupid, stupid reasons in our government. But I feel like these types of movies, like you said, are very much needed. We need the representation. It's never going to go away. Representation, just because we get it finally, doesn't mean we need to stop getting it. Yeah. No, it needs to always be there for everyone. So I'm excited to see where they're going with the next one. Who knows? Maybe they'll, you know, actually take home some Oscar awards with the next one.
I'm like hoping for Best Picture. Let's go. But congratulations to the cast and crew of Black Panther. Well-deserved, and here's hoping for many more awards to come. Perfect. So kicking it over into Netflix. So the one and only, the last surviving Marvel Netflix series is Punisher Season 2. So we recently got our first look trailer. Not first look trailer, but what I would signify as our first full look at the actual story. Which this is adopting, I can't remember what it was called, but basically he takes on protecting an orphan from like a crazy religious group. So it looks like they're pretty much following that storyline. I'm excited for it. I feel like it's fitting that he would be the last show that Marvel will release on Netflix.
Did they decide that Jessica Jones is done?
Yeah. Jessica Jones got cut.
When did that happen?
Before Daredevil got cut.
No, I thought you said that one was still happening because...
Oh, well, season 3 is still happening, but I mean, I thought they already announced that Jessica Jones was done. I thought they announced already that Jessica Jones season 3 was the last season for Jessica Jones.
Well, yeah, but there's still a season. This one more than likely is going to be the last season of The Punisher.
Oh, no, it definitely will.
Yeah.
That's true. I guess it's not really the last
season. Yeah, I was Jessica Jones still hasn't happened yet. We're forgetting about my girl there.
Well... She'd be probably March then. They'll probably do another March release because she was March last year. No, that's true. Good call. Completely. For some reason, I thought that they had already canceled her.
Yeah. No, I think she gets her last season.
Her season 3 and they call it. Yeah.
I would like to see, you know. I mean, if it ends where it ended, I would be okay with the ending that we got, because then I could think that she has more of a happy ending than she probably will end up having. I don't think her character will ever have a happy ending.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Which is sad. But for this trailer, it looks good.
But
it doesn't look as good as the first one, though.
Yeah.
So just from trailers alone, and I enjoyed, what is the villain? Billy, what the heck is his villain name?
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, yeah. There you go. I really enjoyed him in the first one.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see him come back, but I also really enjoyed his friend that he was with the whole time. So I don't know how much of a role that his friend that he was saving, you know, that he was keeping secret
Micro.
Because they kind of showed him. I feel like they showed him in the trailer at one point, but it looked like it was a flashback. So I don't know what his role is in this at all, if at any.
Because he got his happy ending at the end of the first season. So it's like, how much do they really want to uproot his life? I'm worried that
if he does come back, it's not going to be good.
Well, that, or I could see Punisher going to him and being like, hey, I need something. And he like, okay, I'm going to help you, but then you got to go. Like, I can't
get Well, that's why I worry about
how that plays out.
Yeah, because I feel like Jigsaw being a part of it, nobody's safe. I mean, nobody's ever safe, but he's just the
worst. He's just the worst.
But that's what made it so good. So I don't know. It looks good. It just doesn't look as good as what the first season was. So you're going to have to win me over, Punisher season two. I was skeptical of the first one.
Well, because you don't like the guns and blood and guts.
So. No, because he just doesn't, I don't know, doesn't care.
Right.
They show everything. Like, even in the trailer alone, like the guy smashing his head on the freaking bathroom sink and the whole sink going down. I'm just like, what the heck, man? And that's just in the trailer. So, yeah, I can only imagine what we're going to be seeing in this one. But I enjoyed the first one, even with all the gore and blood and guns. It was still a good show. I don't know. I know you're pumped for it.
No, I definitely am. And I think that this and then Jessica Jones, I think, will be a good send-off. But I very much have faith that Disney Plus will figure out some way to continue on with these characters. I think, if anything, they'll just shuffle them over to Hulu. To me, that's what makes the most sense.
It makes sense to do that.
You already got Runaways over there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that one was a little bit more teen drama. I could definitely see if they do anything further with Cloak and Dagger, that'll go over. Now that they have the Fox properties, I'm sure they'll want to continue on with Legion. I could see Legion going over that way as well. Like, I think that it would be really cool to just have a whole ton of Marvel stuff that is not the main MCU characters like we're about to talk about, and have that all sit on Hulu. So that would be awesome. So, speaking of which, with the Marvel Cinematic Universe proper characters, it has been rumored now that they're going to each show, this is not in total, but each individual show is going to have $100 million budget for the season.
Yeah.
So you think about how, like, they've already announced Loki, they've already announced Scarlet Witch, they've already announced Falcon and Bucky. You were just telling me that Lady Sif.
Yeah, there's rumors of a Lady Sif series. So
that'd be pretty intense.
And they're saying all these series are going to be like a 6 to 8 episode series.
Right.
So when you think of $100 million, I'm like, well, I'm obviously not going to get 13 or 26, you know, episodes out of them.
No, no.
But a pretty good, hefty, I'm sure, hour-long 6 to 8 episodes. No. We're going to get some good story from that. But $100 million for, I mean, I don't know how much TV shows go for, but when you think about their budgets that they have just for these shows and how that works on, like, when you think of Netflix and how you don't know the viewers, like, you don't know how much viewers, you know, because they don't release that information.
Right.
So they get money from, obviously, the subscriptions that go in. And how do you make back your money? And it's just so nuts to think about how many people would have to own a subscription to Disney Plus.
Right.
For them to make back some sort of money. But I guess it works in the long run when you're thinking of how many shows. You said Vision, Scarlet Witch, there's the Buddy Cop one, there's the
Loki
one, and possibly Lady Sif. So that's $400 million at the least that we know of right now. Holy moly.
It's a lot of money. It's A lot of coin.
But, and then I think we read that it was like studio funded. So this is going to be funded through Marvel Studio.
Yeah, which you would expect.
Disney isn't, you know, putting out that money, but they got to get the money back somehow.
Right. And I'm just, I'm excited to have those characters each come back. You know what I mean? Like with Loki, for Tom Hiddleston, he's probably looking at it's like, well, I'm done with the movies anyways. This is really the only way. I mean, mm-hmm. I know there's been leaked footage that apparently he'll be in Endgame.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it'll be for the flashback when they go back to 2012 in the Avengers, the Battle of New York. But to have, like, Tom Hiddleston want to come back. I mean, Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany, like, they're still in the movies, but they are finally coming back. Same thing with Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. Right. So I'm fine with it. Then if Jamie Alexander comes back to do a Lady Sif
really
series,
cool.
Have a series called Lady Sif and the Warriors 3.
Right.
And Thor's gone, but these are the adventures that those guys go on when Thor was gone.
But then can, what's his name, come back? What is his name? Tangled. Flynn Rider. Zach. What is his last name? Zach something.
Levi. Zachary Levi.
Zachary Levi. Got there it. You go. Can he come back?
How many people were shouting at their radio while we were trying to remember that? But yeah, no.
The only name was coming was Quinto. I'm like, it's not eyebrows, man.
I was like, Efron? No. I'm down for any of those. So anything that they want to bring back, any Marvel series they want to do, I'm game.
Agreed. Cool.
All right, take it into the Star Wars realm. Bring us home, Brittany.
All right, so if you guys are living under a rock and you don't have Netflix, Solo: A Star Wars Story is available. So if you have not watched it, because I know a lot of people haven't, it was really sad that the numbers proved that almost nobody went to go see the movie in theaters.
Yeah.
Catch it now. It's such a great film. I think we raved about it when we did our little review of it. I don't know if we did a full-on review, but
we talked about
it. We did talk about it, and it was tops, you know, for me out of the newer films that have come out. It's just really enjoyable, and it was a pleasant surprise. I wasn't worried about it, even though every other Star Wars fan was,
myself included.
I knew it, they were giving me a Star Wars movie, I was going to enjoy it, but I enjoyed it even more than I thought.
Right.
So now for all of us, which most of us have Netflix, you can go catch it right now if you haven't already. I imagine most people already have this weekend, because I think it released on the 9th or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting to me, though, because you figure there's a movie that came out in May, and now here we are in January of the following year, and it's finally making its appearance on Netflix, whereas, like, we've already, like, before that, we had already gotten, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp, right? Like, or did that one not on Netflix yet? I keep thinking it is.
You keep thinking it is. It's like, no, it's a very good schedule. They have a timely schedule for their releases.
Because we just got Infinity War like 2 weeks ago. So
exactly.
I guess it does make sense that now we're getting this one, and then we'll get Ant-Man and the Wasp probably like in
Ant-Man and the Wasp will be the last one, I want to say.
Oh, yeah?
That they are putting out.
Oh, okay.
Because
Captain Marvel won't be, right?
No, pretty sure that one will not be, or maybe Captain Marvel will be the
I felt like
one,
that was the one that was supposed to be
which
the last,
which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, but Endgame won't make its way to Netflix, because I'm sure by that point they'll want that one to be, well, because now they're saying it's like fall, like Disney Plus isn't going to launch until fall of 2019, so like we still have like,
which I had read a random release date for the new Lady and the Tramp thing in October. So I don't know if that was a complete accident, but I want to say it was like October 4th was the release date for that.
Which makes sense.
So that could be around the time that we get Disney Plus. So it could have just been a little blooper, but if not, I read it on a random article. So
could
don't
hit for those,
completely quote me, but look forward to it around all the October time. That is fall.
Yeah, could hit for those Q4 numbers, you know, end 2019. High note there. So
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm honestly really excited for it. I will absolutely have my money in hand trying to force feed it into my phone to purchase their services.
As we tried earlier today.
Yeah. How come these guys won't take our monies?
The future is now.
Yes.
Let's talk about Jedi Fallen Order.
So this was cool because I guess this was recent at like E3 or whatnot that they had announced this game was coming out. They announced the concept of this game way back in summer. I think it was like June or July.
I think like 2 years ago they announced this game.
But they had brought up that this was going to be, it's
still
sooner,
a thing.
Yeah, it's still happening. So the fact that like they continue to talk about it, and we've gotten a little bit more insight on what the game's about, that it's going to be titled Jedi Fallen Order. It's going to take place between episode 3 and episode 4, but Basically, you are a Padawan or Jedi apprentice, if you will, because you're not like a really, really young kid, but you are still a Padawan learner. Your master has been killed.
Nuts.
And now your mission is to go and find different masters, and you learn from each one.
Very cool.
And to me, I'm like, that's exactly the type of game that I wanted. Like, I loved Force Unleashed because I liked the, here's a character, you're going to go on different missions, you'll develop your Force powers, your lightsaber combat, and you'll eventually become this all-powerful Force user. I loved that. I loved that when it was Dark Forces, and you know, Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, and you were Kyle Katarn, like... Those are the games that I think Star Wars fans have always wanted to play. Like, I like Battlefront. I haven't played the new one for Xbox One or PS4, but the ones that were for Xbox and 360, I actually really liked those games. I thought it was fun having the war, like two sides just battling, and you just constantly respawn. I got it. You know, obviously it was very much tailored for multiplayer. With the new Battlefront, they almost had no storyline. It was all just multiplayer. With this game, they're going for the story first, and then we'll bake in the multiplayer. They've come out and said, Respawn Entertainment, which was recently acquired by EA, Electronic Arts, which obviously they have the license for Star Wars, they had come out and said, like, yeah, we wanted to concentrate on the story first and then go in and develop the multiplayer aspect. So I'm 100% on board for this. Like, I'm glad they haven't released a new console yet, because that way I can, knock on wood, hedge my bets that it will probably be available for PlayStation 4.
And we
that
hope.
I will be glad that we put the money in for that.
If they can hurry up and make this game before they make a new console.
Well, they're saying that the release date is expected to be holiday season of 2019. Okay. So if it follows the same pattern that we had with the Battlefront games, was right around mid-November. I want to say Battlefront 2 was like November 17th. So we should get it right around that same mark. It'll be before Black Friday. We'll let the craziness settle down. They'll put on a Christmas sale and we'll get it for Christmas. So
nice.
Fingers crossed. Here's hoping, but I'm excited. Would this be a game that you'd be interested in playing?
Yeah, it sounds like a really cool concept. I mean, the idea of being... I'm more of a light side than a dark side anyway. So if you get to be a Padawan and following the events of Revenge of the Sith... Holy crap, that sounds dark.
Yeah.
Like, I think it'll be a much darker game, just like Force Unleashed. I think I read some things that it was going to be similar to that kind of style of dark games, you know, in the Star Wars world.
Which, I mean, I like that because I like the games where as you're making decisions, as you go along, it will affect...
Yeah, you know, that like is when fun.
They, yeah, like it's a like choose your own adventure.
You can have a different type of outcome depending on what you choose.
Yeah, I always like that. Like if you were able to beat certain missions or...
You can be good, you can be in the middle, or you can be bad.
Well, like that was what was always cool about like with Jedi Knight, that was for console. Like you could acquire certain bonuses and you could learn new Force abilities. And depending on what abilities you learned, like if you learned Force Choke... Obviously, that was going to
lead you towards the
more dark side, right? Where if you just learned like Force Push, then it's like, oh, you're going to be more light side. So, or like healing and meditation. Like, it was cool. I always like that.
Yeah, that's neat.
So we'll see. I mean, this is a game I'm definitely pumped about, and it'd be cool if the two of us could go back and forth and play it.
I like that.
Nice. So, all right, bring us home. Last bit of news.
Okay, so Star Wars Resistance. If you guys are keeping up with that new animated show that is on Disney, they basically have been going strong. I think people have been enjoying it. We did not keep up with it, as we usually don't keep up with any show that is on live. It's never... I don't know. Can't even remember the last show we kept up with. So we are not caught up on this, but from what we have read, they have released the back half of the season, and it's following the timeline of Force Awakens. So we knew that when this was coming out, it was going to be in that little gap before the Force Awakens and before the First Order. Now, this is following the First Order, and they're having like interactions with First Order people and whatnot, troopers. Yeah. And what's neat about this is, so once this season's over, they're saying this next season is going to follow The Last Jedi.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, we know we have Poe Dameron in it, and we know that with the comics... the Poe comics that have been released, that also has gone into past Last Jedi. So we know there's, you know, some things going on there that are leading into episode 9. So with that being said, this is supposed to, the second season would finish up in the fall of this year, right before episode 9. So the season 3 of this will more than likely follow, I imagine, episode 9, whatever that title will be. Can you guys give us a title?
People were trying to surmise as to whether or not it would be like an end game where like the dialogue, like the name of the movie was said. So they're trying to speak
Marvel
about that.
Marvel and Lucasfilm are very different studios,
right?
Guys.
So people were like, oh, the rebellion begins or like something like that. And I was like, oh, I don't know. It could be The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, The Rebellion Begins. I could see that. But I don't know. I'm honestly, at this point, I'm not super concerned as to like what the subtitle is.
Right. Because
most people are always going to refer to it as like episode 9 anyways.
Yeah.
I think that really, I mean, with the prequels, I usually refer to them as like 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. But with 4, 5, and 6, I usually refer to them as A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, you know, or ROTJ and Empire and, you know, A New Hope. So I don't know. I don't know if I will particularly just refer to these ones as episode 7, 8, and 9, or if I will call it like, oh, The Force Awakens and Last Jedi. So, I mean.
Well, I call them now. I call them Force Awakens and I call them Last Jedi.
Yeah.
So I know the next one, whatever the title is, that will be what that movie is, but that's probably what I'll call it.
Right.
But I think we probably won't get that till what, April?
Yeah.
So you guys got a couple months. I don't think we'll be getting anything within these early months or the last months of winter. I'm sure April will be when, if they're following the same patterns of, you know, the last ones.
Yeah.
We got a trailer in April. I think we got a title a little bit before then. I don't remember what month though. So, I don't know. I guess in the next couple months, we'll be looking out for that episode 9 official title. But until then, you can watch Star Wars Resistance on Disney Channel. We'll eventually go back in and catch up because the first 3 episodes that we did see,
they were fun.
They were fun.
Yeah.
I think it is geared a little bit more towards the younger audience because it's more fun and more on the like spaceships and all the action scenes like that rather than the deep story that I feel like Rebels and Clone Wars kind of went into.
Yeah.
They got really deep for a little while there. And even though kids are still invested because they got invested in the characters originally and they just went along for the story, I guess. But this one I think is more, let's just have fun with the show and let it keep going. It's not, I'm sure it'll get deep like the other ones, but probably not as deep as what Clone Wars and Rebels did.
No, I wouldn't think so. And it'll be interesting too, because you figure you've got Clone Wars season 7 coming out later this year. You've got The Mandalorian coming out later this year. Now we know we got Jedi Fallen Order. Resistance got renewed for a second season. We've got episode 9 coming out. So this is going to be a pretty epic year for Star Wars, so I'm excited to see how it all pans out, and hopefully
let's keep it positive,
guys. Yeah, hopefully people get pumped for Star Wars again, because I know I am.
I'm getting really excited for episode 9. I mean the fact that we're finally in 2019, it feels more real, I guess. Yeah. Even though it's a year away practically.
Yeah, pretty much
just under a year
11
away.
Months, you know,
but we'll, it's exciting. I'm glad that those feelings are coming back, and I hope that for all the other Star Wars fans that they'll come back too, even the ones that hated Last Jedi.
I guess we'll see how it plays out, right?
Let's be kind, guys.
Right. Be kind, rewind.
All right, so that's all I had for Star Wars news.
Perfect. That's all the news I think that we've got. So we'll take a quick respite, and then we'll be back with some shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
Fan flag fly engaged.
It's time for some shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
I feel like it's been so long. Since
so
we've done
long!
Shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
Thanks, Liam.
You're welcome.
Lovely.
You're welcome.
Oh, nice. Yeah, you missed your opportunity on that one.
Almost.
All right. So shout-outs from when I'm looking at like the last post from an episode. It was our year-end review.
Oh, nice.
So we asked like what you guys were interested, what were your highlights from 2018, what were your favorite things under the Disney umbrella or other things, and Stephen Matthew said his highlights from 2018 were definitely Infinity War, Black Panther, and Solo.
Nice.
So those were his tops, and then he also got to go to Disney World, so he had a nice little vacation, and he got to stay at the Polynesian and Wilderness Lodge. You
Dang.
Lucky duck. Both awesome resorts that I have looked into, and the Polynesian is like high up on my on my list of if we can afford it, I really want to stay at the Polynesian.
We can't. Gorgeous. We won't.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We can't and we won't.
We will probably be at one of the second-rate ones. One of the Disney's animation. What is that one called? I don't forget what it's called. It's like animation something. But it's a little bit cheaper to stay there.
Yeah.
Anywho, so awesome. Glad you got to enjoy a Disney World vacation. And for things that he's looking forward to in 2019, Episode 9, Endgame, Captain Marvel, Toy Story 4, and The Mandalorian, which Disney Plus.
Right.
So I think that's probably tops for a lot of people is Disney Plus to see what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like where, how, if we love Netflix as much as we love, can Disney do that for us too? I believe in you, Disney. Oh, I think you can.
It's a service. Think about it. When we go on Netflix, we if we're not looking for like their original content or like old shows that we're trying to catch up on, like The Office,
mm-hmm.
we're looking for what Disney content is on there.
Right?
So if you have a streaming service that's all Disney content, that's our cocaine.
We had been talking
right
about this for a long time. I feel like we had been, before they even talked about doing a streaming service, we had mentioned like how awesome would it be if Disney would just put all their stuff in a collective. And then sure enough, a couple years later, they're like, guess what we're doing? We're like, guess what we're buying? So awesome. Jedi Robbie's also had a chime in on what his tops were for 2018. In 2019, he had went to talk about if we had asked him before The Last Jedi, what if he was looking forward to Episode 9, then he'd be all for it. But basically, because of The Last Jedi, he's just kind of like meh about Episode 9. He'll watch it for sure, but it's not like a first night thing for him. He probably won't be there opening night. And the excitement just isn't there because of kind of the taste The Last Jedi left.
Yeah.
You know?
I think I'd still go. I think I still plan on going opening night.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like
it's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, you have to.
I
was sad walking into Solo on preview night and there was no line and nobody was there. Like that really threw me. So I'm excited that this will be the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this will be the first time that Remy gets to like kind of remember and experience this. Cause he was such a little baby for all the other ones. So.
Yeah. I only hope that it's a positive one.
Yeah.
I imagine the crowds will be there because not only are we excited that we're getting the end of the trilogy and another saga film, but I think a lot of people are going to be, you know, like really interested in where the heck is this going after The Last Jedi. It can only go up, guys. Come on. It can only get better.
This may be when I show up in costume. We'll see. Ooh. Maybe I will.
We say that every year and we never do.
No, we don't.
We just wear Star Wars fandom.
Yeah, so. I don't think I even wore it for Force Awakens, did I? I don't think I wore my...
Because I don't remember if you dressed up for a little bit and then changed. Did you?
No,
I don't think so. You might have.
Did I?
Oh, no, because Force Awakens was very soon after. Not very soon, but it was like he was only a year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, I don't think you did. We didn't have a lot of time because we had to get a sitter and then we had to go. And
we had to drop him off at your parents and they were like, well, we want to go to the movie. So we had to drop him off at your sister's. So
yeah. We ended up seeing it at the theater that we don't normally see movies at. We won't do that again.
Well, at the time, they served Pepsi, but now they serve Coke, so we can go back.
That's true. And they do have nice chairs. So, cool. So, Jedi Robbie's not so much looking forward to the next... I mean, he is and isn't looking forward to Episode 9, but he did enjoy... I think he said Deadpool 2 was... He doesn't know what his favorite movie was for 2018, but he did really love Deadpool 2. He said, I loved that movie to death. Gruesome death.
Nice.
So... I get what you're saying there.
Nice. Picking up what you're putting down.
He also enjoyed Creed 2. For TV shows, he liked Daredevil, Sharp Objects. Wait. I don't know what that was. And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which I think we've seen. Is that on Netflix? Oh, no. I think that's a Amazon Prime thing.
No.
Eh. We don't know what it is. Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. But it said seriously. So, oh, yeah. So good if you have Prime.
There you go.
It's an Amazon Prime. There you go. And he's looking forward to Galaxy's Edge because, come on, who isn't?
How can you not?
So even if you didn't like The Last Jedi, you know everybody's going to be there for Star Wars Land first day.
And if they're not, we're going to be mad at you. No, we won't. I mean, do what you want. It's your life.
But thank you to everybody who sent us messages also on what their highlights were. I don't want to dig deep into those because we're already kind of going really, really late.
Yes.
Here on this. But thank you guys for sending us your highlights of 2018 and what you're looking forward to 2019. And, We did that in our recap of 2018, our year-end review on the last episode. I don't know what number we're on right now. 321? So it would have been 320.
No, we're on 322 now.
Oh, because you haven't changed that yet. Okay.
No, not on your file. I changed it on mine.
Oh, thank you very much.
I just updated it while you were searching for shout-outs.
He did it on purpose. It was a setup, guys. All right, so go back in and listen to 321 if you want to hear all the things that we loved about 2018.
Perfect.
Cool.
All right. And that's it, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, it's been fun. I appreciate you joining in yet again.
It's been a real slice.
Thanks, Herc. Real nice. Oh, I don't know why I felt like I needed to repeat it. You did it perfectly fine on your own.
It's because you love me so much.
Is this true?
I just made it look so cool.
A quote so nice, we said it twice.
That's a shirt. Anywho.
Right. So, as always, BMO, where can they find you?
You can find me at Citizen of Disney.
You could find me at Liam Bright. As always, you can find the show at Hilt Radio on Twitter and Instagram. You can also go to hiltradio.com, which we will start updating the website, hopefully, knock on wood, with a little bit more frequency. We have been talking about doing some video content, so let us know what sort of things you guys would like to see, other than my butt naked on YouTube.
Oh, goodness, never.
Totally a possibility. No, just, you know, there's we've got thrown some ideas around, and we just want to give you guys as much interesting content as possible, and especially for those that have stuck around for all 3 years now of the podcast, we deeply appreciate your devotion to what we do, and obviously you're the reason why we do this. We do this for fun, but we also do it to provide you guys with
people still listen
some incoherent ramblings of two Disney files. So I don't know how else to put that, but perfect. We appreciate you guys joining us for another episode. We will catch you on the next one. But as always, until then, try to make the world a better place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at hiltradio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's hyltradio.com. See you real soon.